Amen. Such a sweet presence of the Lord today. Thank you, Father. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Kings 8, and we're continuing on with our "But with God, all things are possible." And you may be saying, is this series ever going to end? I don't know. I just keep finding more stories that something that was impossible becomes possible, right? And I love what I think it was Jerry Saville said. No, it was Keith Moore. He said, if you ask me why I keep preaching the same thing, he said, it's because the Lord thinks you haven't gotten it yet. So you got to drill it into you, right? So this is important because when you're going through life, you need to know that if something looks impossible, all of a sudden you'll be sitting there and you'll hear my voice. But with God, all things are possible, right? It's a reminder to us not to look at the circumstances, but to look at our God. Amen? And he's bigger than any circumstance or situation that you may find yourself in. Amen. So let's look at 2 Kings 8. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm going to back up just a little bit. A little bit earlier in 2 Kings, there's a story of the Shunammite woman. Do you remember that woman? The woman who every time that Elijah would pass by, they would bring him in, they would feed him, they would house him. And it got to the point that every time he came through the area, he would go there. And so the Shunammite woman went to her husband and said, we need to build something, a little room for the man of God. Okay? What was she doing? She was setting aside part of their house. So she was tithing, right? She was tithing a portion of their house. And not only did they house him, but they fed him whenever he came through, right? It doesn't say anywhere that she was looking to get something or she had ulterior motives. Her heart was, this is the man of God. And I just want to pour out and bless him, right? Important thing to realize, right? And so we know the story that she did so much, and he was like, what can I do for her? And the servant said, well, she doesn't need anything from the king, but they're childless. She's never had a child. And so he calls her to, Elijah calls her in, tells her she's going to have a son. Long story short, that son died in her arms about 12, 13 years later. Died in her arms, okay? And she goes to the man of God. He comes back and raises him from the dead. This is this woman, right? So sometimes we think about this woman, and that's the only part of a story that we think about. But guess what? There's another part of a story. And this is just as important as the first part, right? She received her blessing. Sometimes when you're a sower and you give and you give and you give and you give, and you wonder, am I ever going to reap a reward? Am I ever going to see my harvest, right? When you're sowing into the word. You're sowing into the kingdom of God, right? Anybody ever felt like that before? Well, today's your day. Say, today's my day. Okay, so let's look at 2 Kings 8. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the message comes forth from the man of God. Take you and your family and go away. Find someplace else to live because there's not going to be any food here, okay? Anybody want to call that a blessing? I'd like to call it a blessing. Why? Because the Lord was providing for her. He was telling her, don't stay here, go somewhere else, right? And this is the important part. So the woman arose and did according to the sayings of the man of God. See, sometimes we skip this point. We'll hear something, a word from the Lord, and we don't do anything with it. And we expect the blessing to come. Every single time we have looked where God has done something supernatural, there was his part and what? There was our part, right? We had to do something. And most of the time, what is it? Obedience. Obedience is better than any sacrifice that you could ever give to the Lord. He's looking for a heart that obeys. Why? Because if you're obeying him, then you'll be able to give where he tells you to give. He can trust you with the finances that he has. Amen? Okay, so it says that she did according, verse 2, did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines. The what? She dwelt where? She dwelt in the land? She dwelt in the land of the left? What? Just kidding. No. But she dwelt in the land of the enemy for 7 years. God provided. Hello? Are you listening? It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around you. God can still provide in the midst of your enemies. Amen? We don't have to fear the future, the what ifs, because we know that we know that we know he will be faithful. And say, it doesn't end here. Doesn't end here. Doesn't end here. Let's keep going. So it came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. This is so important that you grab hold of us, okay? Grab hold of us really tightly. Then the king talked to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Tell me, please, all the great things that Elisha has done. So the king is talking to Elisha's servant and asking him to tell him about all the great things that God did through Elisha. And listen to the story that Gehazi had on his heart to tell. Now it happened as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son had been restored to life. Right there. And she appeared to the king and her house, appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman and this is her son. We were just talking about this. What a total amazing coincidence. No. When you are a child of God, there are no coincidences. There are divine appointments. Somebody say divine appointment. And Gehazi said, O Lord, my king, this is the woman and her son whom Elisha restored to life. And the king asked the woman, and she told him. It wasn't enough. The king couldn't just take it from Gehazi. He wanted to hear from this woman. Tell me about this. And so she told him everything. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, listen to this, restore all that was hers. Say all that was hers. Say it again. Restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day she left until now. Wait a second. She doesn't just get her land and her house back. She gets 7 years back pay. Are you shouting this morning? God is able. God is able. And you may say, well, that's just coincidence. No, that's impossible. In the natural, this is impossible. That the king, first of all, would be talking to Gehazi at just the moment that the woman of God walks in to ask for her land back. This is the chances, like, of it lining up are probably zero in a million. It's just, she had been gone for 7 years. Why this day? Divine appointment. God knows right where you are. He knows what you've done in the past. He knows the seeds you have sown. And he is right here in this day setting things up so that you'll be in the right place at the right time and the right people will be there that will be able to say to you, wait a second, are you that person that I just heard about? You may say, well, I haven't done anything super great. You know what? When you tithe and you give, the Lord rejoices over you. He's rejoicing over you. This is my faithful servant. So he can whisper in anyone's ear he wants to about you. He can do that, and he can go before you and provide the miracle you need before you even get there. Before she even got there, the Lord had already placed her on the king's heart. And when he heard about the miracle, you can't tell me he didn't get excited. And he got so excited about what God had done in her life that not only was her land restored to her, but everything that she had been owed, the back pay, was restored. Does a king have to do that? Do this. No. She left. She left, right? But he gives it all back to her. What is this called? This is provision for this woman, for her and her son, for the rest of their lives. God is so faithful. When you're in a financial situation, remember this story and say, Father, I've been just as faithful as this woman. I'm a tither and I'm a giver. And so you say you are no respecter of persons. If you've done it for her, you can do it for me. So I thank you for going before me and preparing the way. See, sometimes we only ask the Lord for this little amount. And he's saying, girl, I don't want you just to have your land and your house back. I want you to have 7 years of back pay so that you don't have to worry about anything for who knows how long moving forward. Amen? So we need to stretch our thinking. These Bible stories are in here for a reason. They are to teach us, to train us, so that we can go out and do likewise. Because we all know, when you've done something for forever in your lifetime, you don't just change, right? It's a pattern. My guess is the first thing that she did when she got this wealth is she went and found somebody to give an offering to. Because that was her heart. Her heart was to give and to sow into the kingdom of God. I can attest that this heart of this group right here is to sow into the kingdom of God. So you know what? I'm looking for the back pay. I'm looking for your land and your houses, but I'm also looking for the back pay that has been owed you. And some of you are sitting here right now and you're going, I can think of things that have been owed me that I was taken advantage of or someone didn't give me that I was supposed to get. You know what? You start calling those things in. Thank you, Father. You're sending people out to bring that in today in Jesus' name. And in the meantime, you continue to be faithful and obedient to sow where he tells you to sow. Because you know what? With God, all things are possible. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. You are so faithful. And I love this story so much, God, because it just shows us that when we are faithful givers, it's not a one-time blessing. Father, you bless this woman and her family over and over and over again. And that's the same heart you have for us. Is you want to pour out your blessing in our lives, God, so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. And Father, I just pray today, Lord, for each person in this room. If there is something that has been held back, if there is inheritances or maybe deals that were done or money that they were supposed to get that they didn't get, or maybe there's things we don't even know about that were supposed to come into our hands, finances that were supposed to get to us that somehow got blocked, I speak to your angels right now, and you said to command them to go forth. So I say, go forth, and you bring in that harvest that has been lost, stolen, forgotten, held back, kept captive. Today, in Jesus' name, go forth and release those things. And Father, I thank you that we today declare we will be faithful as we have been in the past to sow into the kingdom of God, and we will be faithful in the future with all the finances that you're bringing in to continue to sow into the kingdom of God. And I just thank you, Father. Money does not rule us. We rule money. I thank you, Father. We are givers. We're not lovers of money. We're lovers of giving. We love to give. And I thank you, Father. We are vessels that you can flow through to touch the lives of the world around us. And we give you praise and glory for every single, even down to the dime, Father, that you're bringing it all back to us in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. We call every seed sown today blessed in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Shout amen to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Whatever you're believing for, it's on the way. Say it, it's on the way. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. That's houses, that's church buildings, that's salvations for your family and loved ones, whatever it is you're locked on to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll go ahead and pray over this message and we'll get right into it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Jim hit it on the head this morning. He got in and he said, you know what? I feel like I'm just fastening my seatbelt and getting ready for a great church service. And I said, Jim, you are right on target. We did not talk this week about this message at all. But I've been feeling stirred about this next, maybe 5 or 6 Sundays. You know, in the summertime, our family loves to go on family adventures, road trips. Everybody say, road trip, right? And Why do you take a road trip? Because sometimes you just need to get out of town. My father-in-law, Larry, he calls it blow the stink off. We just need to blow the stink off, man. Get out of town. They would come home when Shelly and Scott and Stacy were, Sherry Lynn, when they were wee ones, right? And he would just say, throw some suitcases in the car. We're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. I'll tell you when we get there. And they'd go to the coast there were times they'd go to California for the weekend, right? And just get out of town, right? And I wrote down a few thoughts about road trips, right, as we get into this. Time to get out of town. Get out of the realm of the known. Isn't it nice to go somewhere where things look different? The trees are different. The birds are different. The people are different. Amen. When I go north, when I get north of Longview, it starts feeling like I'm going somewhere. And I'm watching for the Emerald City. You know, I'm watching for, what do they call it now? T-Mobile Park. Or the Seahawks. I forget what they call that, you know. Or family that lives up there. When I go south, I'm watching for the first palm tree. I used to be watching for the first In-N-Out Burger, but that's changed now, right? They've moved up to us now, and somebody say, glory! Glory! Amen? Family adventures. How many know when you leave town, you need to make sure your vehicle is ready? Because you're not just going to the grocery store, right? Where you're going, it might be good to have a AAA card in case you need backup, right? Got to make sure you got a full tank of gas. Make sure the oil's changed. Make sure the tires are good. Make sure there's no idiot lights on. You know what I'm saying? Because why? Because you're leaving town. You're not going to beat us up the street. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, this is an important one. You got to make sure you have snacks. You don't have to be overflowing with snacks because there's another gas station coming up, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, the gas station snacks, right? You get the little Cheetos or the big drink. Shelly likes I heard somebody call it rabbit poop ice, the little round ice. A cup of that, iced tea, whatever you want for your adventure. Somebody say, carry snacks, right? What are you going to be listening to? You got to have something to listen to. You got to have a playlist. Maybe you're listening to some, because, you know, a lot of times you'll lose track with the radio stations. So you got to, in the old days, now let me tell you this, kids, they used to have this thing called a CD player. I think we still got some CD players, right? But you had your playlist, what the music you want to hear, or some good preaching, right? Or whatever it is that you want to listen to while you're on the road. You got to pack. How many know if you're leaving, you're not just going to the across town, you got to take an extra change of clothes, a suitcase. Somebody say you have to be ready for a road trip. Pack what you need, right? You got to make sure you have the money with you. How many know you got to have some credit cards? You got to have cash or whatever it is that you need. You don't want to get halfway down the freeway and like, uh-oh, my wallet is at home. Somebody say, mayday, right? You got to make sure you got the provisions. Amen. Amen. And a road trip is a great time to just relax and fellowship with your family or with your wife or husband, or you know what I'm saying? There's so many things in this life where you're just always on go, everyone's going seven different ways all the time, and when you just get in the car and you know you're going to be together for a while, it's just a great time to fellowship together, right? And a couple of things I wrote in here, it's important that you know, where do you want to go? Where are we going? What are we going to do when we get there, right? What do we want to do? What do we want to see? Who do we want to see? All these things are important before a road trip, right? I'm trying to read my last note here. Oh, yeah. Are we all in agreement about where we want to go? Ever been on a road trip and somebody's got an attitude about it? Right? I don't want to go there. I don't like those people. I don't want to do that. Somebody say, get in agreement. Find something to be excited about with this road trip. Amen? It's important to be in agreement. Why? Because the car can't go five different directions at once. Amen? But the message is titled Faith Highway. Somebody say, Faith Highway. Because life is really a road trip. And the ultimate destination for those who are born again is up. The ultimate destination is the arrival in heaven. Glory to God forevermore. But while we're on the road trip, let's be excited. Let's be in agreement with God. Let's know where we're going, what we're believing for. And let's get our faith up. Let's get prepared for the journey. And get amped up about it. Glory to God. But the foundation text for this message. Oh, another thing I forgot to put on here is you have to take a football. We have played football in Alabama. Well, of course, there you take an airplane, right? You can. It wouldn't be bad to have a road trip there. But we have played football at the beach up north. We played it, you know, in eastern Oregon. That's the other way we go that I love to drive around here is that way, east. And what you're looking for there is no trees. The trees get smaller and smaller and smaller, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, we played football in Hawaii just to say we did it. Right? So, amen, right? All right, so you're in my car. All right, that's Hebrews chapter 6 is our foundation chapter for this message. Somebody say, Faith Highway. And especially verses 9 through 12. So we're going to be on a road trip here for the next few weeks, all right? Are we in agreement? Hallelujah. And it says this, but beloved, we are confident of better things. Why did we get on a road trip? Because, man, we're going to go do some fun things. I'm a little bit ready to get out of the ordinary and go do something. Somebody say, better. Palm trees in March are better. Right? Amen. Where was I at? Mayday, mayday. What's that? What's she say? When possible, make a legal U-turn. Chapter 5, verses 4 through 14. Is that right? Did I say chapter 6? I think I meant chapter 5. So that was a good point that the Lord has brought up. But let's go back a chapter. I mean, sometimes you got to turn around and get back on the road, right? No man takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to God, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. What's this have to do with a road trip? Well, just hang in there, right? And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Somebody say dull of hearing, right? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, and that is those who, for by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hallelujah. And somebody say, uh-oh. Where's the through faith and patience they inherit the promises verse? Am I in the wrong chapter still? Anyway, it says verse 12. Na, 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 na. I think when I was studying, I got a couple of chapters mixed up. That is a chapter we're focusing on today. Chapter 6. Thank you, Lindsay. Verse 12. Okay. Hey, everybody. Let's go back to chapter 6. Yeah. Oh, I see. Somebody say, help him, Jesus. Say, who's driving? Who's driving? That's another thing to add to the list. Who's going to drive? The one least likely to get lost, right? Amen. Well, we just read, I started in item C there, so amen. So let's go back, rewind, it is chapter 6, because we're in item A there, foundation text, verses 9 through 12. Amen. But beloved, there we go. We are confident of better things. That was correct. Good Lord, have mercy. Concerning you. Yes, the things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward us, toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not become sluggish, there we go, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's the main text there for this message. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. How many know this is a journey that we're on with God? And it's going to require faith and patience. Who's ever asked or heard the question, how many more miles? When do we get there? I'm hungry. Can we pull over? Right? And so in order to drive this faith highway, it's going to require faith and patience. Glory to God forevermore. We started this journey as a church 13 years ago. And it feels like a road trip, right? And we just keep going and going and going and going. Somebody say, keep going. Amen. But I want to look at some key definitions from verse 12 there. Hallelujah. Now that we're back on track. Amen. And I've been using the Blue Letter Bible app website, but there's also an app. You should check it out, Blue Letter Bible. And some of these definitions they're all of them out of the concordance, but I've been using that app, and it's been really enriching my study time, you know. And so it'll enrich this time too, right? But when it says, do not become sluggish, somebody say, do not become sluggish. Amen? And that word means things like lazy, dull, like dull of hearing, right? We've heard that it said. And that it even talks about it meaning an illegitimate son. Now, how many know God does not have any illegitimate children? No one is going to step into the gates of heaven and say, yeah, I'm not really with you, but I know this guy. I know him, right? And so since I'm with him, therefore I'm in, right? No, you're not. Because God does not have any illegitimate children. You're either his son or his daughter, or you're not. Amen. So it's important, in order to ride this highway of faith, this faith highway, somebody say that you're all in. How many know you can't be halfway in the car that's going 75 miles per hour? And how many also know there's nothing worse than getting on a highway and you're following somebody who's driving like a slug? But that is an opportunity, though, to develop patience. and pray for them. Sometimes when I do that, I think, well, maybe that's actually an angel protecting me from something I shouldn't be driving into right now. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Somebody say, don't become sluggish. Hallelujah. The kids were watching something on streaming yesterday about these guys that were driving through Alaska. And they're in Jeeps, and they're all decked, and they are prepared. They are stocked up with everything they need. And they're moving, he said, very slowly. But that was the adventure, because it's mud and pits and in and out of stuff like that. Somebody say, enjoy the journey. This is a big thing with being on the faith highway, is somebody say, enjoy the journey. That's part of, you know, for us, you know, a number of years as we, you know, in our family history, the Sneer side, Shelley side, developed a love for Snake River, Hell's Canyon, out on the Idaho border out there. And man, I just so enjoy the journey. I actually enjoy the journey probably more than when I get there. Right? It's just a beautiful drive, but it takes a long time to get there. But man, it's just beautiful, the nature, and just love it. Amen. So somebody say, enjoy the journey. Amen. And a lot of this is going to be connected to, really, to our attitude. Faith is an attitude. Patience is an attitude. It's a choice that we make. Amen. But when it says imitate, when it says do not become sluggish, verse 12 again, chapter 6, let me be clear, chapter 6, verse 12. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And imitate means be a follower or even mimic. This is why it's so important to be listening to be plugging into people of faith. Not people that are preaching unbelief or sorrow or grief or all these things like God's will might be for you to have this crazy stuff happening in your life. No, we want to hear people that are preaching the victory and faith and the blessing of God. Why? Because that's what I want. Just ask yourself, where am I going? What's my destination? And then let's find things that line up with that in the Word of God. Do I want to go to Sicknessville, Povertyville, Depressionville, Strifeville, Perversionville? No! I'm going to Jesusville, going to the kingdom of God. And it says in the Word of God to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. So just ask yourself, how is it in heaven? And that's where I'm going. Amen. And there's room in the car for some other people, right? Hallelujah. And we're imitating, following, listening to, plugging into people that are of like faith. Amen and amen. And I love even the word through. This is something I picked up again on the Blue Letter Bible app. Through means the channel of an act. And it makes me think of the highway itself. Amen? Faith is the highway that we're on. This highway of faith is going to require faith. And faith, if you look in your notes there, it means reliance. I love this definition. Reliance upon Christ for salvation. And constancy. How many know you just have to keep going? Go another mile, right? Constancy in such profession means moral conviction of the truthfulness of God, assurance, belief, and even the word fidelity, being faithful. We hear that word a lot, it tied into marriage. We have to be faithful to believe what God says, even beyond our own circumstances, how it looks, how it feels. We've just got to stick with it. Somebody say, it's a road trip. And if I hit some rough ground along the way, or a construction zone, or someone driving sluggishly, somebody say, I'm still going. I'm still going. Hallelujah. And the word patience, patience and faith really go together. And a road trip is a good opportunity to exercise patience as well, because you start thinking about, boy, I wish I was there. Oh, when are we ever going to get there? Right? Patience means things like with long enduring temper, fortitude, long suffering, forbearance. Patience is really what undergirds your faith. Patience would, you know, I think of things like making sure the car is ready so it will have the forbearance and the fortitude to make the trip. Right? Hallelujah. And then when it says inherit the promises, it means things like to be an heir to be heir, obtained by inheritance. These are the things that we're going after. Glory to God, right? How many know there are things that the promises of God that it talks about the word profess, to make promised, message, and announcement. I love this. Especially a divine assurance of good. Love Oral Roberts. We talked about him last week. Would always say, something good is going to happen to you. Where are we going on this road trip? Somewhere good. Somewhere gooder. Somewhere better. Hallelujah, right? And then we just lock onto it. We pray in the Holy Ghost. I think a lot of these words would indicate there needs to be a relationship with God. Amen? A relationship with God, or really with anybody, if you trust somebody, if you have assurance of something somebody says, but they're going to be faithful to what they say. Have you ever known anybody that will promise something, but you know it's not likely to happen? There's no fidelity there. No, you just know they're not going to follow through what they said. But God isn't like that. And there's people that we get to know that are, if they say they're going to do it, you know that's as good as done. Amen. And that comes with relationship. Amen. So developing our relationship with God is hugely important on this faith highway. Amen. Because there's nothing worse on a road trip than if you start wondering, am I going the right direction? Like I was just wondering a few minutes ago, am I in the right chapter? Where is that verse? And have you ever done that on the road where you're like, am I even going the right way? My nephew, like last year, he hasn't done many road trips by himself. And he came to see us, but he never saw us. And we all started wondering where he was. And he didn't know where he was. But he knew, he told his mom, my sister-in-law, that he would be home around 8. Made the promise. So, and that was a promise. Somebody say a promise. And I just had a knowledge. I just had an assurance. Even though we haven't heard or seen Eli in hours and hours, and he left hours and hours and hours ago from Seattle area. And he's supposed to come here. I just had an assurance in my heart that Eli is going to do. He knows, I know my sister-in-law. I would not want to look her in the eye if I'm late, right? So I knew Eli had the fear of mom. Even though he couldn't find us, I knew he would be home at 8, and we got the call later. Eli has safely arrived home. Even though he couldn't find us, he didn't know where he was going, right? How many know it's important to develop a relationship with God so that you know what to believe for? Amen? There's a lot of Christians that are tossed and turned, like the Bible talks about being blown around by every wave, and let that, you know, the doubt scripture. If you doubt in your heart, you're like being tossed around in the waves of the sea. Is God going to bless me or is he going to curse me? Does he want me well or does he want me sick? Does he want me poor or does he want me rich? See, we can't wait around for all of that. We got to be firm, rock solid on the will of God for our life. And then we know where we're going. How many know it's possible to know exactly where you're going and yet you've never been there yet? Glory to God forevermore. That's called having assurance. That's faith. And that gives you the strength to go to carry on another mile. Hallelujah. To have another chip, to have another sip of Dr. Pepper or coffee or whatever it is, or another red vine. I like my red vine. The black, who likes the black ones better, actually? Yeah, see, I guess me too. The black ones I prefer, and I usually don't have to fight over them. Amen. Play that track again. Who's got that one track you could just listen to for 2 hours? Just, you know, the same playlist or what? You just keep it going and keep going. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we just looked at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 4 through 14, but we're gonna look specifically at verse 14 because I want to take each week and just focus on one part of Hebrews 6, verse 12, which says, "Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Because this will help us on our faith highway, right? So the first thing we want to look at is do not become sluggish. Amen. And we just read that portion in Hebrews 5. Verse 14 specifically says, "Solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Let's actually look at a few of those verses again, because it's important to do that. Let's go to verse 9. "Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." How many know obedience is a big thing with God, right? "Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." How many know, don't be a baby. Babies are the ones that are griping the whole time on the road trip, right? Don't somebody say, grow up in faith. Amen, right? "Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised." This is huge. "Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So the sluggish ones in the faith, on the faith highway, are the ones who don't know the difference between good and evil. Is God going to bless me or is God going to curse me? Right? We're seeing this rampant in the body of Christ right now. Right? We're seeing it rampant in the body of Christ. Just think about in terms of sexuality. Right now, right? Just the acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle in the body of Christ. Just the acceptance of people that aren't married to each other acting like they are married to each other in the body of Christ. This is sluggish, lazy, foolish, illegitimate children kind of stuff. Just think in other terms. Maybe God put that sickness on you to teach you something. That is sluggish, lazy, illegitimate son type stuff, and we need to repent of it. I'm not talking to you specifically because I believe you know better. But we need to pray that we stay on it and that we don't get lured away by the way things look, by the way things sound, right? By something somebody else is saying out there. That we stay on it with Jesus and we stay in this book and we stay in prayer, we stay in church, we stay with Jesus so that our senses are trained to know the difference between good and evil. Because if we don't, we are going nowhere. We're going nowhere with God. Sometimes I see some really nice cars stranded on the highway. Nice car, beautiful car, but out of order, apparently. Right? What a bummer that would be. But it's tragic because we don't have to do it. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to live in that place of total ignorance to the difference between what is good and what is evil. As the body of Christ, we have to put that foolishness, it's foolishness to think our Heavenly Father is okay with certain things that He clearly says He's not okay with. Right? Amen. And we have that in our coordinates. I'm going to Healingville. I'm going to Purityville. I'm going to, right, prosperity, the blessing of God in my life. I'm not waving to the right or to the left for any of this other garbage. Why? Because I'm a son. I'm a daughter. That's what's my inheritance, and I am not settling for anything less. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Welcome to the faith highway, right? Now go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Maybe we should make some car sounds. Vroom, vroom. I love those cars sometimes that drive by, that pass you by, and they've got something extra under the hood, right? This vroom. Like, what was that? Glory to God, right? Hebrews 12, 3 through 11 says this. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. How many know a long road trip, there's a tendency to become weary and discouraged. But you just don't allow it. Turn the praises back on, right? Turn faith back on. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Somebody say sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. It doesn't mean God beats his children. Some Christians would take a scripture like that and say, see, he's scourging you with cancer. No, he scourged Jesus with cancer. Right? He's scourging you with filth and perversion so you'll stay humble. No, Jesus bore that in his body. What he does to us is he brings the correction of his word into our lives. He's not going to allow us, if you're his son or his daughter, he's not just going to allow you to keep going down to Stupidville. Somebody say, I'm not going to Stupidville. Right? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? There's a lot of Christians, I believe, over the years have quit, gotten off the highway of faith because, well, I thought it was just all sugar cookies and Kool-Aid and happy thoughts. This God wants to meddle in my life. Forget it. Going back to Stupidville where I can do whatever I want to do, right? Somebody say, don't go to Stupidville, right? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. How many know if you've ever been an athlete, it's when the coach stops talking to you. That's not a good thing because it means he's quit on me. It means Steve isn't coachable. Yeah. I had it once happen when I was in baseball, and I generally was a good attitude guy, but this one I just got peeved at the coach because he would dare take me out of the game to let a sophomore kid play in my spot because that kid's dad was griping that he wasn't playing enough, and I'm just kind of sulking on the bench and kind of mumbling behind him loud enough for him to hear. Coach. And man, that was not a good idea to gripe at the coach's decision. Instead of just having a heart of let him go play, I'll take a rest today. Have an attitude. And that did not go over well with the coach. And he indirectly, knowing I was hearing what he was saying, He was a guy that played college ball at University of Portland, and his dad was an older guy that played minor league pro ball. Good combination. Good cop, bad cop kind of thing. And he's like, I can't believe, I'm sitting up behind him, he's talking to his dad, I can't believe there's guys on this team that will gripe when I make a decision. Can you believe that? And I kind of took a hint and made a change in my attitude, right? How many of that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for someone who responds well to his correction. Because his correction will help us with our direction, and it will help us with our protection. Right? Amen. Furthermore, by the way, don't you love on the GPSs? I don't love. I'm being sarcastic. The new technology. I'm thankful for technology for the most part, but I've learned there's times not to listen to it. Where it says, like, save 3 minutes. Get off the freeway. You'll save 3 minutes. I'm like, no, I'm not getting off the freeway to save 3 minutes. Why? Because even though the freeway is slow, there's no stoplights, there's no construction zones. I don't know what's going on over there if I get off the save 3 minutes. Are you kidding me? So we got to watch out for the devil's little things where he peppers it out there, right? Don't you love when it says, you know, McDonald's next exit, and you are starving and you take the exit and it's 5 miles? Somebody say, no, get me back on the freeway. I'll go another 37 miles if I have to. Because why? Because at least I'm going the right direction. Amen. We got to watch for the devil's bait and switch stuff in our lives, right? There's a shortcut. Watch out for the devil's shortcuts. Those old cartoons or slapstick movies where there's a race or something and somebody comes out and moves the sign. It's like, no, somebody say, stay with Jesus. Stay on the faith highway, right? Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Somebody say, this is about your life. The faith highway is about me living. Right? I'm not going to Deathville. I'm going to Lifeville. Hallelujah, right? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Glory to God. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Somebody say, stay on the highway of faith, right? And verse 8 specifically here, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, and you are illegitimate, right? Somebody say, I'm a son, I'm a daughter. And the Amplified Version says it this way, verse 8. Now, if you are exempt from correction, that's not the way to answer Jesus. Sir, I am exempt from your correction, right? And without discipline, don't you know the word disciple carries with it the connotation of discipline, right? If you are exempt from correction without discipline in which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate children and not sons at all. This reminds me of the verse where many will come to Jesus in the day where we're all gathered together and judgment. And they'll say, Lord, we're tight, you and me, we're tight. Remember, I cast out demons and laid hands on the sick and did all these things in your name. And Jesus looks at him and says, I don't know you. I never knew you. You are illegitimate to me. What does that tell you? That tells you that it's possible to be thinking you're doing God's business and yet you're still embracing evil. You didn't tell the difference between good and evil. You didn't tell other people, I'm not doing that because it's evil. And you embraced it and kept preaching and kept praying and kept going to church and lifting our hands and dancing around and doing whatever. And yet there was no embracing his correction. And those people will hear those terrible words. I never, never knew you. You are not a part of this family. Right? That would be tragic to hear. Somebody say, not me. Not me. When Jesus says something, I am not sluggish to listen. I'm not slow to repent. I am quick to respond to his correction. Glory to God. Proverbs 13:4, we'll say this in closing. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So it's pretty easy to chart our coordinates now, right? Do we want to go to Nothingville or Richville? Somebody say, take me to Richville, please. And that means that we're going to be training our senses along this faith highway to know the difference between good and evil and be in the habit of choosing the good and rejecting and shunning anything that's evil. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. Thank the Lord for his word to us today on this faith highway. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise, 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 praise your name today. Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for inviting us to get on the faith highway. And we make a decision today, a fresh decision, to be right in the center of your plan and your will for our lives, to be listening to your voice, to be quick to respond to your guidance and your correction and even your rebukes, to stay in line with your word, to be people that study and spend time in your presence and be people that listen to you and not be people that just carry on like everything's fine when something needs to change. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, I yield to you, Lord. It's one of the signs you'll see on roads at times, yield. Right? We yield to the Holy Spirit. We yield to the Word of God. We yield to your voice. I think of the voice where Jesus is speaking and he says, my sheep know my voice. My sons and my daughters know my voice. A stranger's voice they will not follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We choose you, Jesus. Let's just pray this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I choose you. I choose the faith highway, faith and patience. I choose good. I rebuke evil. I shun it from my life. I choose to walk in fellowship with you, to be constant in my fellowship with you, to have ears that hear, to be quick to hear and quick to respond to anything you would say, to anywhere you would lead. I receive cleansing of any sin, cleansing of any issues in my heart that need to be washed, and I choose to be your son or your daughter. I choose you, Lord. Thank you for all you did for me as my example, to be yielded up to the Father, follow you every day down this blessing road. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.